Hi, this is Scott Burton, arts and music producer here at KTOO, and I've been joined in the KRNN studio by Mr. Ken Leghorn. Welcome, Ken. Nice to have you here.
Thank you, Scott. Thanks for having me in.
Yeah, and I thought it would be fun to put together a sort of Juno Jazz and Classics 101, or how to get the most out of Juno Jazz and Classics. I know you've been going to it since every
I think since the late 80s. Every one of the, this will be the 29th year.
Yeah.
I try to go every year.
And what were you saying? Like, how could you miss a festival like this?
Yeah, it's kind of like Folk Fest. If once you go to one, you start setting your annual schedule around it. So, yeah, April is Folk Fest. May is Jazz and Classics. That's just got to be the way you run your life here in Juneau. And besides, where else would you want to be in April and May than right here listening to great music?
And you are a musician yourself. You've been with the symphony for, what, 35 years, playing violin?
Right. So I'm mostly classical, but I enjoy the jazz end of it as well.
And why don't you explain for us a little bit about your experience then with Juno Jazz and Classics? How do you approach it? How do you enjoy it the most?
Well, I wouldn't say that I'm totally type A in my approach, but I am somewhat organized. And I, as soon as I get my Jazz and Classics brochure in the mail each year, we lay it out on the kitchen table and start circling dates of the must-attend events, those things that jump out that you know you want to get a ticket for and purchase. And we'll spread that out among the 3 weekends that it's in town. So it's a little bit longer than the Folk Fest. It's spread out over 3 weekends plus the 2 weeks in between. So there's lots of chance to fit concerts in around your schedule. So I'll first pick out the evening events that are ticketed that I want to be sure to attend. And then I'll start circling some of the free events that take place during the day or some evenings, and some of the midweek events that are kind of high on my list, ones that I hope to attend. And then I'll put check marks on ones that, if I have time that day and can steal away, say for a brown bag lunch, I'll do that.
Yeah, and that seems like a good strategy. Just a minute ago, we were talking about how Folk Fest and Juno Jazz and Classics are similar and different, and you pointed out the fact that Juno Jazz and Classics takes place at venues all around the city.
Yeah, right. And that's part of the fun of it, is that there's probably, I don't know, 20 different venues that are used over the course, including ones that you usually don't go to for either classical or jazz music. For example, the Shrine of St. Therese. There'll be two small classical quartet concerts there the first weekend. And that's one of the most special places literally in the world I have been to for listening to a string quartet. There's maybe 50 people that can fit in. You walk out that beautiful walkway to get to the shrine out by the water, and this magical sound, very intimate space. You can tell the quartets that come love playing there, and it's just a very intimate experience and one of the best classical small experiences I've been to. Same with Chapel by the Lake, some of the concerts that take place there. There's also some larger venues. They use Centennial Hall, other churches downtown. So depending on the size of the event, and that'll give you an indication, too, of how many tickets there are and how much in advance you need to buy. For example, opening night is tomorrow night. It's the Jones Family Singer, and that's going to be in Centennial Hall. And there's still tickets left for that. That's a large band doing really high energy music. That's going to be a fantastic way to kick off the festival. One of the Shrine events is sold out, but the other one still has tickets. There's also blues cruises that take place every year on Al Marine boats, and I think one of those is sold out. And one of those still has tickets left. So those are some of the smaller concerts that you want to think about in advance, but many of the events will not sell out, and it's really some of the best music. Another difference with the Folk Fest is that Jazz and Classics is all professional musicians. It's some of the best players from around the country that are brought in to Juno each year. They love coming playing together. They love coming to Alaska, of course. And what people may not realize is that a big attraction for them and for Juno is that many of them spend a lot of time in the schools. So there's a whole behind-the-scenes jazz and classics festival that you don't see in the program, and that's taking place in both high schools, both middle schools, almost all the elementary schools. They bus over 500 kids into some of the free brown bag lunches on princess buses. So there's you'll be hearing buzz all month from students all over Juneau talking about the music that they've heard. So that's something if you have kids to key in on and ask them, hey, did you get any jazz and classics concerts this week? Because they probably did.
Interesting. And I think when Linda Rosenthal and company got this going back in 86 or something, that was a big part of it, right, is outreach and education. And it seems like they're succeeding in that.
Yeah, it's just an incredibly enriching month between the concerts, the fact that if you're not into jazz or classical music, you can expose yourself to that whole side of music that you might not be so familiar with and literally hear some of the best in the country right here in Juneau. It's amazing what they do. And then you add the school component, the fact that there's a lot of free concerts and all the different venues.
Let's talk about those for a second. Those might be one of the most accessible parts of this festival, right? Are those brown bag lunches at the SOB?
Yeah, exactly. They're fun. They're informal. They're noisy. It's a chance to interact with the group. And you can just stop in for 10 minutes, and they're literally brown bags. So you can crunch through your sandwich and enjoy the music there. It'll also give you an idea of what you want to come back to maybe that night or the next night for a concert. So it's a good way to check out the music.
In front of you, you have your schedule, which looks like it's been in your back pocket and everywhere else. There's marker all over it. I love it. When is the first brown bag lunch?
So the very first brown bag lunch, and you can look on the brochure that is available at the Jack or at the bookstores and also online. They have a great online calendar where each day has the list of what's happening. And if you click on the name of the group, it'll take you right to that group's blurb, including a video clip. So if I look, Friday night's opening night, Jones Family Singer. Saturday night, dance party, Louisiana Jukebox with the Revelers. That's going to be at the Jack. Sunday, those two concerts at the Shrine. And then Monday is the first brown bag free concert downtown in the state office atrium. And that's going to be the Catalyst String Quartet. Amazing group to hear for free. That evening at the Downtown Depot, sponsored by Alaskan Brewing, is, again, the Catalyst Quartet playing for free. So two times that day. You can hear them at lunch or in the evening. And then the week just goes on with more. There's also workshops taking place, but there's literally something throughout all the week and all three weekends, ending on Saturday, May 16th, with a really fun community day on the UAS campus, which is the whole afternoon of different groups playing. And that is the one time when you'll hear non-professional. That'll be a time to showcase some of Juno's music groups that'll play throughout the day on a schedule. And then ending with the big festival finale concert back in Centennial Hall. And that's the Big Bad Voodoo Daddy Dance Party. And it's really fun the way Jazz and Classics does these dance parties is they have plenty of seats for people that want to sit concert style, but then they clear a big area, including close to the stage, and people that want to dance can do plenty of that.
So how have you approached this ticket-wise? Have you already gone online and purchased tickets to some of these shows?
Yes, I did. I purchased tickets to my must-see shows several weeks ago. Now that it's closer and I know what my schedule's like for the rest of the time, we're going to be buying some more tickets this week and next week. So for the larger venues, you can still buy tickets a few days ahead of time. And sometimes at the door, say for Centennial Hall and the Jack, you'll still be able to buy tickets at the door. And then I just start going downtown and checking the free concerts and each day kind of seeing what's happening and trying to fit that in. One special thing I'm excited about this year is Paul Rosenthal is going to be playing in three of the concerts. He'll be playing viola and adding himself in with the Catalyst Quartet. And then he's going to be doing a trio and also violin piano sonata. So we don't often get a chance to hear Paul in concert and to have three opportunities. So I've got all three of those circled for sure.
Excellent. Any fun stories from years past that you'd like to share with us that sort of exemplifies what makes Juneau Jazz and Classics special?
Well, sure. The opportunity to interact with the musicians who are so excited to be here. They need a lot of volunteers, so there's a lot of ushering opportunities. And for a few years, I've volunteered to just take people out on hikes when they're not performing. I think it was 3 years ago, I took the quartet that was in residence here out to the ice caves, and it was a beautiful sunny day. So on the way back, the two guys jumped into Mendenhall Lake, just peeled off their clothes and jumped in by the icebergs. And I think they still have pictures of that on their website.
Ken, if you had to go to three events this year, that's all you could do, what would the three be? And think of maybe a first timer coming to this festival, and that's all they had time for. What would you advise?
Wow.
And they're not even sure what kind of music they like yet.
Okay. Well, you know, I'm big on the concerts at the Shrine, the Catalyst Quartet playing out at the Shrine. That would probably have to be one. I think, boy, for the jazz concerts, that would be hard to narrow down, because certainly the festival finale, the last night dance party, that would have to be on the list. But there's also Sunday, May 10th at the Egan Library on campus, there's the Puttin' on the Ritz concert, which combines classical and jazz. So if you like both, or if you're not sure, that's a great thing to go to. And the Bria Skoenberg Quintet's going to be doing the jazz part of that. And Paul Rosenthal and Ivan Drachman, who's one of my favorite cello players, will be there as well. So I guess I'd have to say, yeah, Sunday, May 10th, 6:30 at the library, Puttin' on the Ritz would definitely be one of those. And then, yeah, the finale. So those three would be for sure things to attend.
All right, Ken, I think we're almost there. What are we missing? What do people need to know about how to enjoy this festival to its fullest?
Well, the one thing we're missing is what's happening at the Goldtown Nickelodeon, and you can only buy that ticket through Goldtown. It's not officially part of this festival. Well, it is part of the festival, but different ticketing. And that is a music and a movie on Monday, May 11th, and it's where live music plays during a silent black and white movie, one of the original scores that was used for those movies. So those are special evenings, and Colette's going to be there getting that started and kind of interpreting what we're going to be hearing and watching. So that, again, is on Monday the 11th, and that'll probably sell out.
Okay. Well, Ken Leghorn, he's been to about every Juno Jazz and Classics since its inception in 86. It's the 29th annual Juno Jazz and Classics Festival this year. We hope to see you all out at these events. Thank you very much for your time, Ken.
Yeah, be great, Scott. Thanks for talking.
Yeah.